We are commenting on the Mishnayos and the long Mishnah here at the beginning of the Perek. Okay, and again, the Shir is dedicated by Gary Selby Greenstein, memory of Yomi, Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon, Eli Nishmaso Breakfast, Eli Nishmaso Yosef Yitzhak Ben Yehuda Leib, Bavuach Leim, Fashal Nsiyah Lemela, Ben Malka. Okay, the mission describes a whole involved additional procedure for those major fasts, the high intensity fast, the last seven of the set, in case the drought lingers for so long. And in any case, it describes a number of things that are done, including additions to the Shemona Esrei, as well as some other gestures and. So we're asking about them here on this daf. Tazayin Amud Aleph, the third line, Rechov Teva Sakya Meferei for Kvura Moria Simen. Whenever the Gemara does one of these, it just is telling us that we're about to discuss a number of things here, and in case you want to remember all of them in order, it gives you some non-memorable simen that I guess for some people is effective at remembering what's going to be happening. Maybe it was meaningful to them. Maybe this was words in a song. I don't know what it is, but for us, it's just telling us what's coming up. Okay. Mara asks the following. Lama yotzim l'rechov. Why is it that we, as we remember from the Mishnah, it describes that you bring the Aron out to the street. Why do they go out to the street? Rechia Barabba Amar Lomar. Rechia Barabba Yamora tells us, he thinks that the reason is because Lomar, as if to say, Zoaknu Betzina Vilona Aninu, we've already appealed to you to answer us Betzina in private, Vilona Aninu. We weren't answered. We will shame ourselves. We'll bring ourselves, our shame, our busha out to in public. Rish Lakish Amar, he says, that's not what we're trying to convey by going out into the street. It's galinu. It's a galus thing. Galinu, galusena mechaperas. Our galush be mechaper aleinu. And that's why. Gemara says, my beinayu, does it matter which is the motivation for this practice? Gemara says, yeah, it matters. Ika beinayu, de galimi be kanishta le be kanishta. Is it just as effective to relocate to another shul, from your shul to a different shul, where on the one hand it still feels like a galus because you're not used to it, on the other hand it's still bitzina, so you're not out in public. So in case, let's say, I don't know, they don't allow a public assembly or something, or there's no place to gather in public, so then would it pay to go to a different shul? So according to the one, it pays to go to a different shul. According to another, you may as well just stay where you are if you can't go out in public in any case. Why do you bring the Aron Kodesh out? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lomar, Kalitza Nua, Hayalana Venis, Bazeh, Be'avonenu. Okay, because Kalitza Nua, our private Kli that we had, the Aron, the Torah, and we're bringing that out also as a kind of, we're exposing ourselves this way. It's also a way to appeal to Hashem's rachamim. Okay. And now we're forced to have to bring this out because of our averus. Maybe it's a message also to ourselves. It's reminding ourselves that this is what happens. V'lama miskasim b'sakim. Why do we put on sock? It says that in the Mishnah, you wear sock. Marsha over here says, what kind of a question is that? Because that's a pretty standard, it's a standard practice. That's why you wear a sock like everybody in the Tanakh who are suffering from something. But he thinks that this is not the same as that. It doesn't mean that you only wear a sock. He says that you put on some sock over your clothes. So he just says, it's only a gesture. It's only symbolic. What's it supposed to symbolize is the question. Sock is as if to convey the idea that we're treating ourselves like behemoth, like animals. Where do you get the idea that wearing sock is conveying the idea that we're like behemoths. Rashi says, yeah, because it's made out of animal hair. Rashi doesn't like that. He thinks that all wool is also animal hair. It doesn't convey anything. So he thinks that they actually would put some kind of sock on the animals. Okay, may not be relevant to us. We don't necessarily have this imagery. The lama nos neme for makla gabi teva. Incidentally, following along in the siman on the top, we've done the rechov, teva, sakim. We're up to afer. So why do we put afer makla gabi teva? Why do you put ash on the teva, on the yara? Amar Rebbe Yehuda ben Pazi lomar, imawan achibet tzara. To kind of give some kind of, I guess, a hope to the people that to see that Hashem describes that He suffers along with us. Rish Lakish amar b'chol tzarasam lo tzar. Same kind of a thing. It's just two psukim that convey the same idea that Hashem says that He's with us in our tzaros. So you put the afer on the aron. Aron is symbolizing Hashem's, I guess, presence somehow, and put afer on it. As if like Hashem is saying that He also feels like wearing afer when the people are suffering. Am Rabbi Zeir Mireish ki hava chazina lehula rabbanan di yahava afer makla gabi teva. Rish Lakish said that he remembers the first time he saw the rabbanan put afer makla on the teva mizdazeya likula gufoi. I was shaking from seeing that. Okay, I guess he's showing that this is a powerful image. I know it says that originally he did this. I don't know if he became used to it over the years, but it says that even from the first time. Okay, the Gemara says here, "V'lama nosnim efer b'rosh kol achad v'yachad." So now, why are we putting efer on everybody individually? That can't be because of this image of the imon achiv tzara. And also, this Marsha also points out, it's also not the afer, like Sakva afer of Mordechai. He wasn't waddling in afer. He wasn't wallowing, in afer. He just puts a little afer on. So what's that all about? Ligi bar, Rabbi Levi, bar Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Chadamer, Harayanu, Chashuv, Melefanecha, Ke'afer, V'chadamer, Kadesha, Yitzkar, Lana, V'faro, Shel, Yitzchak. Okay, two Amoroim here are describing what they think the imagery is of the wearing afer, putting on afer. It's either because we're humiliating ourselves like afer, or we're trying to invoke the zechus of Yitzchak and the akedas Yitzchak. The Medrash has that a lot. It says that, you know, the Midrashim describe that even though Yitzchak never actually was a korban, but they say that Hashem treats it as if he went through, as if Avram actually went through with it, and that he actually was offered as a korban, and he was burnt up and burnt into ash, and that ash is a commemoration of the Afer Yitzchak, even though there was no Afer actually with Yitzchak. But the Medrash makes it seem as if Hashem is prepared to view it that way, and so we can invoke the zechus of Akedas Yitzchak with Afer. Mai Beinayu, what's the difference if it's the one or the other of these ideas? It could be Nayawe, Avarstam. But if you don't have Afer, Afer means it's ash. It's the product of something being burnt up. What if you don't have that? Is Afer, is dirt good enough? So if it's about lowering yourself, if it's about putting Afer on yourself as if to say you feel low as Afer, well, Afer and Afer are equivalent for that purpose. But if it's about the zechus of Akedas Yitzchak, of course, you don't get it. You don't have that imagery. If you're going to put Afer, Afer isn't reminiscent of the Akedas Yitzchak, even in a midrashic way. Now it says, Lama Yotzim Lebeis HaKavaros. So another procedure is to go to Beis HaKavaros. Does it have that over here in the Mishnah? Yeah. No, it doesn't have it in the Mishnah, does it? I don't think it has it here in the Mishnah. That going to Beis HaKavaros. So Rashi says that there's a Yerushalmi that refers to this. This was an old practice. It says Birushalmi Shahayu Chogrin Sak, Vyotsan Besak Vars, but Tokin Be Kronos, Be Karanos, Karnos. So now the Gemara is asking, you know, why are you wearing sack and Besak Varos and Tkiyas Shofar? It also doesn't have sack in the Mishnah. Okay. All right, so in any case, so now this was a common practice, apparently, even though it doesn't have it in the Mishnah. Why would they go to cemeteries? Besak Varos. Peligi Bar Rebbe Levi Bar Chama Rebbe Chanina. You see what I'm saying? Rebbe Levi Bar Chama Rebbe Chanina had a machlokes about what is the idea of going to Beis HaKvaros. Chadamar harei anu chashuvim lefanecha kemesim. It's another way to appeal to Hashem for rachamim, that we're like mesim. We don't have value. V'chadamar kedei sheyivakshu aleinu mesim rachamim. And the other one is saying, no, you go to the Beis HaKvaros to enlist the mesim to solicit on your behalf. You're trying to get them to accomplish something for you. It's an interesting theological question, but in any case, this is a pretty common idea. So those are the two suggestions here about why was the practice to go to the cemetery. My benayu, wicked benayu, kivre yakum. What's the difference? Which of these is the message? And the difference is, what if you don't have a Jewish cemetery, you only have a non-Jewish cemetery? So if it's about kind of conveying the message that you feel like worthless, like Mesim, then Mesa Yaquim also, same thing. But if it's about trying to enlist them to accomplish something on your behalf, so then apparently we don't care about Mesa Yaquim. We don't necessarily feel that they're effective in this way or something. And so we wouldn't bother to go to Kivrei Yaakov. Is there then a practice on Tisha B'Av also? They talk about visiting cemetery, and they make the same exact question about what's the point of visiting cemetery on Tisha B'Av, and then they also say the same kind of a thing, is that in order to, if it's about getting into the mood of Tisha B'Av, so then even a non-Jewish cemetery would accomplish that. Okay, so now we kind of veer away from the entire topic altogether for this next few lines or so, which Rashi says was brought up because we have the same people involved, Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. And this is what it asks. So the Gemara is now asking, "My Har Hamoria, what is Har Hamoria mean? What does it mean? What's the significance of the words Har HaMoria? What is Har HaMoria? Well, we know Har HaMoria is the Har HaBayis, is the Makom HaMikdash. But the words Har HaMoria, interesting. You see on the side in the Torah Or, it says this as a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is the one place where Har HaBayis is described, is called actually Har HaMoria. We know the expression from the Akedah. It says that Hashem told Abraham to go El Eretz Hamoria. So Eretz Hamoria, and then go up onto the mountain. When he goes up there, presumably put all together, that's called Har Hamoria. But it's actually called Har Hamoria only in the Rehe Yamim. And so the Gemara is asking, my Har Hamoria. Rashi over here, and Tosas quotes this also, have this other interpretation that it might be referring to Har Sinai. It might be referring to Har Sinai. If that's Har Sinai, then how in the world is Har HaMoria supposed to refer to Har Sinai? So if you look on the side, they have a different girsa about what this question is, my Har HaMoria. On the side, it says that they quote this Agadat in the Medrash on a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where it says, Har HaMor, El Har HaMor, Har HaMor. That's vague enough. That actually could be referring to any of the significant mountains, Har HaMor. So maybe that's what's going on over here. And there could be a bit of a question whether this particular regatta is going on Har HaMor of Shir HaShirim or Har HaMoria. In any case, my Har HaMoria or Har HaMor, Pligi Bar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama Rabbi Chanina. These same Amoraim had a machlokas about what the significance of the name. Chadamar Har Shayatz Menu Hora Li Yisrael. with the shoresh of Hora'ah, of Torah, Hora'ah, where it's the where teachings come to Israel, namely that would either be Har Sinai, or that's, so naturally it's, it could be Har Sinai, or it could also be referring to Har Habayis somehow. So that's a bit harder to explain, but Rashi explains, well, you know, Kimi Tzionte Tzei Sora, the Sanhedrin Agadol had to meet there on the Har Habayis, and when things were the way they're supposed to be, then part of the functioning of the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be to have a functioning Sanhedrin that was supposed to be the top legislators and the top judiciary, and it's all supposed to be coming out of the Mikdash. The Chadamar Harsha Yatzimene Mora Liyav Dekochavim. The other one says, no, it's a different Shoresh of Yare. It's Mora. And Mora Liyav Dekochavim. Awe to the Goyim. This is where they come to be in awe of us. I don't know what kind of awe they feel of us, and I don't know where historically this would have been described. But Rashi just kind of asserts, well, they hear how awesome things are here. Mufachadim Aleihem. Okay. All right, two dots. Azakin Shebehem, the elder, Omer Lefnehem Divrei Kvushim. This is all part of the Tainus procedure. That's what it says in the Mishnah. It says Azakin Shebehem Omer Lefnehem Divrei Kvushim. It seems like it's the eldest one. It says Divrei Kvushim. Divrei Kvushim are supposed to be inspirational kinds of inspirational talk. Tana Rabbanan, here's what the Braisa amplifies on about the Mishnah. Yemesh Zakein, Omer Zakein, V'yemlav Omer Chacham, V'yemlav Omer Adam Shaltzura. That's what it says here in this Braisa. If you have a Zakein, so then have the Zakein give the speech. Otherwise, have a Chacham give the speech. Otherwise, have some other prominent person give the speech. It says, hold on a minute. That's what the Braisa wants. That's the priorities. That's the preferences to the Zakein first, and then the Chacham. Atu Zakein v'ko'amri, when they say Zakein, when they say the eldest person, afagav de'lav Chacham hu. What does that mean? That means even if he's not a Chacham, so he's not necessarily going to command that same kind of respect and, I don't know, reverence that you want from the person who's giving the message, the pep talk, the inspirational talk. Amar Abaye, no, that's not what it means. It's talking about if you have somebody with all of the nihilists. Amar Abaye, hafi kamer, miyesh zakein vehu chacham. If you have an elderly chacham, so then he could be most effective. Omer, the zagnu chacham. Let that person give the speech. On the assumption that person will accomplish the most, be most inspirational. I guess somebody should make the determination that whatever the group is, whoever's going to be the most effective. The Yimlav, Omer Chacham. Otherwise, at least have a Chacham up there. The Yimlav, Omer Adam Shaltzura. At least get somebody of stature, somebody that can inspire the people. And what would they say? Achenu, lo sakvitanis gormim. Brothers, it's not the Sak and the Tanis that are going to be effective. Ela tshuva masim tovim. It's only going to be if we introspect, if we change our ways, masim tovim, if we do proper things. Shekein matzina b'anshei Nineveh, which is what you see in a precedent from the people of Nineveh. Who were not Jews. These were people who were doomed to destruction. But they changed their ways, and then they were saved in Hashem, and Hashem changed his decree. Shelo namer bohem vayarho elokim es sakom v'yastani sam. Doesn't say that what accomplished the change of heart that Hashem had was their sak and tanis, which is what we're standing here, which is what we're doing. Ela vayar ha'olikim es ma'asehem ki shavim yidarkam hara'a. That they repented and they actually changed their ways. Okay, anyway, in any case, presumably the speech is not going to end there, but that there's more that the Chacham would say to inspire the people to, I don't know, to deserve from Hashem a better better season, a better rain season, plant season. Once we brought up the psukim about Yonah, then we have a couple of more comments to say about that. What was going on, if you remember, in the story of Yonah was that once Yonah actually finally made his way over to Nineveh in Assyria to deliver the message, then apparently they took him seriously and they took heart, and that they prayed, and then the word came from down from the Melech. I don't know which Melech this is, the local Melech of Nineveh, or the overall Melech of Ashur, I don't know. But in any case, it was the decree was issued, V'yiskasu sakim ha'adam v'habehema. And everybody has to put on sack, the people and the animals. The people and the animals. What are the animals doing with sack? Mar says, what does that mean? Mai havu avdi. What did they do? So here's what the Gemara says. This is all kind of very murky. So well, let's see what it says. Asra habehemas lechud, yes havelaras lechud. Habehemas lechud, we have velaras lechud. They kind of tied up or confined the animals separate, and the velados separate. Now, which velados are we talking about over here? The velados of the behemoths or the velados of the people, their own kids? It's unclear. And what's that supposed to convey? Amru, and it's like they threatened Hashem. Amru lefan ribon shel olam. Im ein atam rachem aleinu, ein anu merachamim aleilu. If you don't have rachamim on us, then we won't have rachmim on these. I don't exactly know how's that supposed to be effective and what that's supposed to do and how's that supposed to be persuasive, and I'm not entirely sure exactly. The Marshal also a little bit unclear about this. He thinks anyway that this description of what they did is not on v'yiskasu sakim ho'adam v'habehema, but it's in a different pasuk. It's a pasuk that v'yikru'u el elokim b'chazka. The next pasuk that's quoted in the next line, that vayikru el Elohim bechazka, that they pray to Hashem aggressively. This is a kind of an aggressive tactic. Okay, not that I really understand why they thought it was effective, but what they thought was effective is meaningless to us in any case, as the pasuk itself says that these are people who didn't know what they were doing at all. So we don't have to learn from what they thought, but just in terms of what it describes that Hashem saw and Hashem deemed to be effective. They call to Hashem a little bit bechutzpah. My Amr, what did they say? Amru lefana ribono shel olam. Aluv v'she'edu aluv. Or tzadik v'rasha minitchem ipnemi. If you have, let's say, if you have somebody Olive and somebody not Olive. Olive is unclear exactly over here what the sense of Olive is in this context. Olive normally means somebody who is vulnerable or somebody who is kind of a little bit being oppressed. The She'ena Olive, who's the one who ought to get preferential treatment? Or like it says, different Gemara, Ha'olvim, Ne'elavim Ve'enim Olvim, the people who are oppressed but they themselves don't respond, they're entitled to preferential treatment. Or tzadik v'yasher, minidchem mipnei mi. Rashi has a very strange comment over here where he says, minidchem mipnei mi, havi omer, of course, Rashi says, that tzadik is nidchem mipnei harasha. Havi omer, tzadik mipnei rasha. I don't exactly know what Rashi thinks was going on here in the Gemara. I don't know how he's interpreting what this is. It's kind of murky. What was what does the Gemara think that they were saying there in Nineveh? What was their tactic? But in any case, none of those things really matter to us. The next thing is what matters. Ve'yashuvu ish midarko hara'a minachamas asher bekatpeihev. The people reformed, and part of the reformation was that minachamas asher bekatpeihev, the thievery that was among them. So they kind of changed their culture of dishonesty and thievery. But that's not what it is. The Gemara takes it a little bit more literally than that. That the chamash asher bekapehem means the thievery that's actually in their hands. So what does that mean? Mayu min chamash asher bekapehem. Amar Shmuel afilu gazal maresh ubeno bebira mekapeh kol habira kula machzir maresh lebalav. Shmuel says we're talking about returning objects of theft that they're still in possession of, and Shmuel gives an exaggerated example of this. Typical example is, you know, I ill-gotten goods, I have the goods, and I give back. But Shmuel's example is, even if I had actually taken stuff and I had actually built a house around it, I would, the expectation was, maybe the orders were, maybe this is their own appreciation of what they're being called to do, was to return every last bit of stolen goods, even if it meant taking down the whole house around it in order to get the marish. A marish is the big beam. So even if the person stole the beam, built it into the house, they would just take the whole house down in order to get the beam back and give it back to its original owner. Halacha doesn't require us to do that. Incidentally, if this does happen to us, that we would just have to pay for the theft rather than to return the exact object. Normally, you do have to return. If you're a thief has an object, you have to give it back. You can't just pay for it. But in a situation like this, the Chazal said that they don't require you to remove the beam out of the building. But that was the length that they went to reform. So that was the point. The point of Anshei Nineveh was that the reformation was total.
We pay double for theft goods.
Sometimes. But if you have the object itself, no matter what, you might pay double too. But you have the object; you have to give the object back plus another penalty.
Give you back two beams for your house then.
Well, either the one beam plus the other.
Instead of a 2x4, he gives back a 4x4.
Maybe.
That's right. That's worth more than
animals. Animals are like the kefil or.
No, kefil is for regular theft also, but. But okay, but not in all cases. In any case, this is not dealing with the penalties. This is just dealing with the principle. Amaravada Barava. Okay, we're moving on. Well, moving on a little. Amaravada Barava. Amaravada Barava has the following comment to say. Is commenting on that concept of that a thief who's still holding on to the stolen goods. There's no way to repent for that until you first return the goods, and then we can talk about repentance. Amar Rabada Barava, Adam Sheyesh Biyado Aveira, Umis Vade, the Eina Choser Ba. Let's say a person is guilty of a sin. It sounds vague so far. Umis Vade, and it says Vidui for it even. It's still kind of vague. The Eina Choser Ba. So I don't know if you ask me, Eina Choser Ba sounds like a great thing. It means he's not going to go back and do the crime again. Sounds great. But that's not the spirit of this mimer. Rashi says, we're talking about somebody, the Avera we're talking about is theft. And when it says Eina Choser Ba, means doesn't return the stolen goods. And that's why it's relevant to the previous line. So it says, what do you like? Lamahu Domeh. You know what you're like if you steal something and then you feel all guilty about it and you're repentant about it and you confess but you're holding on to the goods. Liadam shatofes sheretz biado. Let's say we're talking about a person who's tamei and is still hanging on to the source of the tumah, the dead sheretz. You're holding on to a dead mouse. Shafilu tov b'chol meimos shebe olam lo also lo tevila. So it doesn't matter how much you're tovel, and what you're tovel in, you can't shake off the tumah if you're holding on to the source of tumah in your hand. Zarka miyado, but if you get rid of it, so then kevin shetovel b'arboim sa miyad also lo tefila. If you get rid of the trouble, then we can talk. So then you can tovel in the mikvah. As soon as you tovel in the mikvah, you tar shenemar umoda v'yozev yirucham. Okay, like it says in the pasuk. Pasuk says, you know, if you're going to refuse to own up to your misdeeds, so then nothing. But if you're modeh v'yozeh v'yirucham, so then. But if you confess, and also, you you give the object back, then Yerucham, then you're worthy of Rachamin. I'm not sure exactly what's added by this last line. Same kind of a thing, is that when you pray to Hashem, you know, El Kapayim, El Kel Hashemayim, empty hands, after we've given back all of the things we've taken. This is a general policy. When it comes to crimes and their effects, so then you have to see what you can do to reverse all the harm before you can talk about feeling bad and repentant and anything about it. But okay, in any case, two dots. So we are back to the procedures that they would do during the fast days. And then it says that they would set up a chazan, they would have an extended davening. Amdu b'tfila, maridin lefnei ateva zaken, etc. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says here, Braisa, amdu b'tfila, when they're about to start davening, afal pi sheyeshem zaken v'chacham, even if they have somebody who was very appropriate to give the inspirational talk, doesn't make him the best chazan. In Marid and Lefnei Yateva Ela Adam Haragil, you need somebody who's a good chazan. So who is that? So we're going to get into over here the credentials for being a good chazan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Metupal Ve'Einlo, somebody with a family but doesn't have the means to provide for them all. In other words, the point is somebody who is feeling dependent upon Hashem, the Yeshlo Yegia Besadan, he's invested a lot in his field. Again, same kind of a thing, that clearly that kind of an investment in the field is no guarantee of the return, so he's nervous about that. So the same kind of a thing. Beso Reikam, and his house is empty. Lugmar's gonna ask, isn't that just redundant? Pirko Na'eh, it's in a vague expression. We're going to clarify that in the next page. Shval Berach is an expression. It just means, as Rashi says, Anav. Umerutza La'am. And somebody that the people are pleased with. Somebody that the people are pleased with. Presumably means that they're pleased with the person generally. Generally, they admire the person. They like the person. Or also, that they like this person to represent them. The Yeshlona Ima. And the person's voice is pleasant. Mikolo arev, and they enjoy listening to the person as chazan. Ubaki likros b'torah b'nevim b'ksuvim, and a person who is familiar with Tanakh, he's an expert in reciting psukim, lishnos b'medrash b'halachas b'hagados, and a person is familiar with the drashas chazal, and in halacha, and in agada, ubaki b'chalabrachos kulan. You know, just that. Those are the credentials. Berachazin, the Yahav Rabbanan Einahiu Rabbi Yitzchak Barami, and it says that you know when they were talking about this, they felt Rabbi Yitzchak Barami was the ideal model of this. It doesn't help us because we don't know Rabbi Yitzchak Barami, but I guess for the people who knew him, they would consider that an ideal model. Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this as being the proper chazin. Not just for fast days, where yes, but also for a regular chazan. It doesn't require all of these credentials for somebody who's just getting up there on a Shabbos or a weekday morning or anything. But if you're going to already hire a chazan, you're going to have somebody that's going to be your regular chazan, then it should be somebody who comes close to all of these conditions. Okay, the Gemara asks the following. It says something is wrong with the description. Hayna metupal ve'ein lo hayna beso reikam. Isn't that redundant? Doesn't metupal ve'ein lo, somebody with a family but can't provide for them all, isn't that the same as beso reikam? Amar Fista says, no, it's not the same. Beso reikam doesn't mean that he doesn't have the finances. It means zeho shed beso reikam en ho'avera. It means the person whose home is empty of sin. So over here, Rashi writes that same thing as before. It means he doesn't have any ill-gotten goods in the house. Right, there's Ein Chamas V'Gezel B'Vesa. The Rambam, however, doesn't have that interpretation at all. The Rambam says, no, Beso always refers to family members. It means, Zevshe Beso Reikam En Ho'Avera means that the other members of the family are also upstanding and free of sin.
Don't you have this in Shoftim?
Wait, we'll say again?
In Parsha Shoftim. One of the things about Pan Muhammad. You know, is that thing about Rei Kamen Abeo? People going to war, so.
Oh, you mean if that we need people who are not afraid. Same kind of a thing. That we're diverting, giving in the pashtus of what that refers to sin from sinful considerations. Yeah. Yep. Okay, Pirko Na'eh. What does Pirko Na'eh refer to? What's Pirko Na'eh? Amar Abaye Zeu She Lo Yatza Lo Shem Ra BeYalduso. This is a very difficult criterion, a condition, a credential. Somebody who, even as a kid, had a good reputation. The people even admired the person as a kid. That's not a thing you can do about that now, but at least that's it's an interesting thing. The kids, I don't know if the kids are sensitive to this, is that what they're doing now is going to affect their reputations even as adults. You can't always just transform and repair your reputation. Okay, in any case, that's what it says over here. Pirko Na'eh.
It's talking about that small percentage. You know, you talk about the gadol and the top rank stories when he was a child.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, I guess that's true. That enhances the image of the gadol when the gadol is presented as even as a kid, being different from the other kids. There's something to that. All right, now the Gemara says... Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Ha'isali nachalasi ki arye beyar nasno alaik bekola alkein tenaisiha. So whatever's going on there around the Pasuk, but the expression nasno alai bekola alkein tenaisiha, it's Hashem talking, saying that they're imposing upon me with their voice and I can't stand it. My nasno alai bekola? What is that referring to? What are they doing? Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Yamir La Amar Rabbi Chamabar Amar Rabbi Elazar Zesh Liach Tzibur She'eino Hagun Hayorid Lefnei Ateva. That's referring to when the group has an inappropriate Liach Tzibur who's standing there acting as Chazan. Hashem says, I can't. They're imposing upon me, and I can't. I don't like it. All right, so apparently that matters. You would have thought that who cares? I mean, the Shliach Tzibur is not really. It's not really going to affect the overall merit of the congregation. I mean, the congregation, whatever the merit is, and then Shliach Tzibur, somebody has to be a functionary standing up there and doing the job. Doesn't seem so over here. We actually treat the Shliach Tzibur as the Shliach of the Tzibur. We are actually empowering the Shliach Tzibur to represent them. And we are submitting to Shliach Tzibur in a lot of ways. The Mishnah Brachos says that Shlucho Shel Adam Kamosa. In fact, the only place in the Mishnayos that the words Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, that the person's Shliach has the same standing as the Mishaleach, is in that context of the Chazan. Is the Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, that if that Chazan is not appropriate, the context is if that Chazan messes up and he can't say the Tfilos, so then that's a bad sign for everybody. So in any case, so apparently this Gemara is taking that pretty seriously. Okay, V'yomer l'fnei Esrei v'yarba barachos. They change the Shemona Esrei. They enhance, they enlarge the Shemona Esrei on these seven fast days. That they don't just do 18 brachos or 19 brachos, but they add 6 additional brachos. So now, from here to the end of the page, there's a lot of kind of confusing description about what happens. If you look in the Mishnah is also kind of confusing. The Mishnah says separate parts of how you enlarge the Shemona Esrei. It gives you here, there are 6 additional parts to the Shemona Esrei that you add, and it lists them, and it says, well, Zichronos and Shofros, and then it starts quoting Parakim of Tehillim. And then it goes on to give the Misha'anas with the brachos. It doesn't actually ever put them all together. And then that's what it says in the Mishnah. And then we're going to discover in the Gemara over here and in these brachos that there's also shofar blowing going on. And it never actually properly puts all this together about how are these said. So let's see what it says. Let's see what we can do here. Two dots. V'yomer l'fnei ha'mesrim v'yarba brachos. There are shmona esrei shebechol yom, the 18 regular ones from the week, u'mosef aleihem od sheish, and you have the 6 additional ones. Gemara asked, but the math doesn't work. Ani sheish sheva havyan. Kedisnan al ha'shviyas o'omer, baruch merachim ala aretz. But if you read in the Mishnah actually counts, there are 7 additions to the Shemona Esrei. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my Shviyas, Shviyas Li'arucha. It's not that there are 7 additions. If you read, you can figure this out on your own if you just read it. The Mishnah doesn't add 7 additional brachos. It takes the bracha that's the regular bracha Goel Yisrael. Bracha number 7 of Shemona Esrei is Re'evi on Yenu, Re'evi Re'veinu, and it finishes Baruch Hashem Goel Yisrael. That's where we would say Anenu on the fast days, but also over here, that's where we'd add 6 additional brachos. But we don't just add 6 additional brachos to the regular Re'evi on Yenu, we actually enhance the bracha of Goel Yisrael itself. So that's called number 1 for these purposes. So that's how you get 7. It's really the Re'evi on Yenu bracha itself, which is enhanced, and then you have the supplemental 6 additional brachos. So that's what that's referring to. Our answers are Rav Nachman Yitzchak of Mai Shavias Shavias Li'arucha, for the enlarging, the lengthening of the Shemona Esrei. Kedisanya Begoel Yisrael Marich. Like it says in this other brisa, Begoel Yisrael, you enlarge it, Ubechos Ma, Omer, and you start adding the Misha Anas even in that bracha. And you say, Misha Ana es Avram Bahara Moriah, Huya Ana Eshem, Yishmakol Tzachaschem Hayom Hazeh, Baruch, Goel Yisrael. The Baruch meaning Baruch Ata Hashem, Goel Yisrael. So that's that seems to be the end of that bracha, which is part of the regular weekday Shemona Esrei, just that it's been enhanced. Dehein Onim Acharav Amen. Everybody responds Amen, which is good Musa for us in general. Because this is not particular to fast days. It's just a presumption of that when you're in shul, everybody listens to the chazan and says amen. The chazan akneses omer lahem. And now we're discovering that there's also a shofar blowing. And the gabai announces, tiku b'nei Aaron, tiku. Now, I think that's the way you read this. Tiku b'nei Aaron, tiku. And I don't think it's tiku b'nei Aaron and then taku. So, tiku b'nei Aaron, tiku. Right? To blow tkiyas b'nei Aaron. This is a little bit weird. Who cares about the B'nai Aaron when we're blowing shofar? It should just be the shofar blower. Why is B'nai Aaron? Unless this is happening only in the Mikdash. We're going to have to see. There's a little bit of vagueness here about whether this Braisa, this piece of the Braisa, is referring to Mikdash or Medina. And then it says, okay, so that's like the end of the first bracha, the Goel Yisrael bracha. The Chozer, the Yomer, and then you add the next bracha, the Zohar Nishkachos, the Zohar one, Zichronos. V'yomer misha anes avoseinu yamsuf hu yanes v'mishma kol tzachas v'mayom hazeh baruch zochera nishkachos v'heinu onim acharav amein. So now we've just done the first of the supplementals. The chazan ha'knes amir lohem hariyu b'nei Aaron, blow truas b'nei Aaron, hariyu. And so that's different. With the first one we had a tekiya, now it's a truah. V'chein v'chol bracha v'bracha b'yachas amir tiku b'yachas amir hariyu. And now you alternate. That's what it says. It keeps going. It's not going to spell it all out. It just says, and then you alternate. Then for the third one, you go back and say tiku again, and then the fourth one is trua again. Okay.
The amen seems significant, though, because especially we're talking as in Mikdash. In the Mikdash, they didn't say amen. They said Baruch Shem, right?
We'll find that out, but yeah.
Also, we mentioned that earlier, right? Even on the fast days, they would say Baruch Shem, right?
Yeah. Well, it becomes an issue over here, but yes. So what are you trying to say? That therefore it seems unlikely that this is referring to Mikdash?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it seems significant to tell us that we would have thought otherwise. They would have not said Amen, perhaps.
They won't in the Mikdash. Right. In the Mikdash, you're not going to be saying Amen. So that's what you're pointing out, is that the context of that Braisa, because of what we know about how in the Mikdash they don't say Amen, so then this Braisa is very likely, very, very clearly not in the Mikdash. Problem is, a couple of those things. Why is B'nai Aaron emphasized over here? The fact that our Mishnah doesn't make any mention of shofar blowing going on here.
It says a tikkun, of course.
Where does it have it? It doesn't really have it down here. It's just Oh, and then it says here on the top, it says when Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chananya wanted to try to have that same practice in their communities, it says they were told, no, no, you only do that in the Beis HaMikdash. And that they were the ones who introduced the shofar blowing up on the top. So that's what we were being told. No, that only happens in the Mikdash.
They had the tikkun part there.
Yeah, yeah. They had the tikkun part there. So, okay, so let's see. Let's see what's going on. Gemara says, "B'medivar mamurim b'gvulim, aval b'mikdash ain a king." Okay, so is this the hemshach of that brisa that we're in the middle of? Maybe. B'medivar mamurim b'gvulim. This mishnah, this brisa that describes what was going on over here, seems to only be referring to b'gvulim because b'mikdash ain a king. That's not what they would do in the Beis HaMikdash. Apparently, there was a shul right near in the Beis HaMikdash, and in that minyan, things were different. Lefi she'ein onim amim b'mikdash. U'minayin she'ein onim amim b'mikdash. She'ne'amar, kumu, barchu es Hashem Elokeichem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, v'varchu shem kavodcha meromam al kol bracha u'sehila. Okay, so whatever was going on there in the Pasuk in Nehemiah, it seems like this is being understood as being two separate instructions. One is, kumu barchu es Hashem Elokeichem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, and then the next phrase is saying, and in response, V'yivarchu shem kvodcha umromam al kol bracho tehila. Yachol al kula, al kol brachos kulan, lo tehe elatilo achas. Well, maybe the point of this pasuk is that the response is supposed to be a kind of a single aggregate response after finishing all the brachos. No, Talmud lomar, umromam al kol bracho tehila. Al kol bracha tein lo tehila. So every time there's a bracha, the response is not a min, it's baruch shem kvod malchuso. So now, Ve'al b'mikdash mahu omer. So then, how is this procedure done on the fast days in the mikdash? Well, it's like this. Let's say, for example, at the end of that first bracha, the Gol Yisrael bracha, they would say, Baruch Hashem, question about this Elohim word, Elohei Yisrael, min ha'olam yad ha'olam, Baruch ata Hashem, Goel Yisrael, v'hein omim acharav, Baruch Shem kod machasol yolam va'ed. And now the Gabbai again, v'chazin ha'kesu amir lam, tiku ha'kohana b'nei Aaron. Tiku. Okay, so then they would announce, blow. V'chozer v'yomer, misha'ana s'avram b'hara moriyah. That's interesting. Now the misha'ana is after the chasima s'abracha. It's part of the confusion over here. When are we putting the misha'ana at the end, after the chasima s'abracha, or before the chasima s'abracha? So over here it's after the invocation to blow shofar, it says misha'ana. No, hold on a minute. Something is wrong. So then we have then the next one where it says the second bracha zocher hanishkachos baruch Hashem elokei Yisrael etc. Dot zocher hanishkachos and the hanami macharav v'Hashem kod malchuso chazan akas amir hariu b'yana kohanim hariu v'chen v'chal bracha bracha alternate all of that. It's a subtle difference from what was just being described earlier. Over there, we're being told Yechosim the bracha and the mikdash with the Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Ha'olam Yad Ha'olam, and then the response is Baruch Shem Kod Machusei Olam Va'ed, and then after that is the call to Tekiya, and then Misha'ana. All right. V'chein Hinig Rabbi Chalafta B'tzipora and Rabbi Chanani Ben Tradin B'sikani. This is what it says in the Mishnah also. Kshabadar lefnei chachamim amru, that's not right. Lo hayu noagin kein el b'shar mizrach b'har habayis. So you only do that in the mikdash. So it's only in the mikdash you do all of those things. There's more to say. Let's actually very quickly run through more of this. The yisti amri, other version of all of these brises. Kedesanya, omr lefnei hamesrim v'yarba brachos. The Brisa says that they would say 24 brachos, shmona esrei shebechol yom, 18 regular ones, most of aleimot sheish, 6 additional ones, v'yosan sheish, heifan omron, where do they insert the 6 additional ones? Ben goel arofe chole. U'marach b'geula, same thing as before, ben onim acharav amein, I'll call bracho bracha, and everybody responds amein at the end of each bracha. V'kach hayu nohagin b'gvulin, this is what they would do b'gvulin, no mention of shofar here. Aval b'mikdash hayu omrin baruch Hashem elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam baruch goel Yisrael. V'lo hayu onim acharav amein, v'chol kach lama, why no amein? Levi she'en onim amin b'mikdash. Minayin she'en onim amin b'mikdash? V'nemar kumu baruch Hashem elokeicha min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. The Varacho Hashem Kavodcha Murama Makal Bracha Tehila Kal Bracha Tehlo Tehila. Same kind of a thing as we said earlier. Interestingly, we do another brisa of the same exact point. Tana Rabbanan Al Rishonos Hu Omer Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min HaOlam V'Yad HaOlam Baruch Goel Yisrael. And then everybody says Baruch Hashem Kod Malchusol LiOlam V'Ad. This is in the Mikdash. The Chazan Knesset and the Gaba Yomer Tiku Kohanim Tiku. The Chozer Yomim Yishana. And then there's a whole question about the parentheses over here. Sounds like that should be said. And the Hain Tofian and Maria and Vitokin. Fascinating. According to this Girsa, they didn't blow shofar after they were told to blow shofar. They blow shofar while the Chazan is saying Misha'ana, Misha'ana, and then they blow. That's actually the way the Rambam writes it. When the Rambam writes up what happens in the Mikdash, that's what he writes. He says there's no shofar outside of the Mikdash. The shofar is only in the Mikdash, and it's only in that sequence. They finish the bracha. The Gabbai says, Tiku, B'nei Aaron, or Hariyu, B'nei Aaron, depending on which bracha they're up to. The Chazan chimes in with Misha'ana. And then they blow. And then they blow after all of that. Yeah, that's maybe that's a piece of what's how to put all this together. Al Hashnia, the next bracha, Ahu Omer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam, Baruch Zocher HaNishkachos. And everybody says, Baruch Hashem Kvod Malchus Ol Yolam V'Ed. And the Gabbai says, Achazan HaKnes Omer, Hariyah Ben Aaron, Hariyah with Truah this time. The Yomer Misha Ana, and then the Chazan says, Misha Ana, Abosin Al Yamsuf. V'yan Eschem Yishma Kol Tach, Eschem Hayom Hazeh, V'heim, Miriam, V'tokin U'Miriam. There's another change. It's not just a Tkiah or just a Truah. It's when it's Truah then Tkiah, then Truah. And when it's Tkiah, then Truah, Tkiah. Same kind of thing as we do. We Tkiah, Truah, Tkiah, it's always a kind of a set. Same thing over here, but they had a Truah, Tkiah, Truah set also. And that would be the alternation. Echin, Bracha, Bracha, B'yachas, Omer, Tiku, which they would do a Tkiah, then Truah, Tkiah, a B'yachas, Omer, Hariyu, do Truahs, where they would do Truah, Tkiah, Truah, Ad She Yigmor, Esa Brachas Kulan, V'chininig, Rabbi Chalafter, B'tzipor, and Rabbi Chanan, Ben Shradim, Esikanim, and then they didn't like it. Shabada, Reitzel, Chachamim, Amru, that's not the practice. Lo Hayonog, in Kein Ela, Nishari Mizrach, Behar Habayis. All right.
Good.